exercise out there in the third dimension with your smart devices. You can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Welcome to the GFCD Q&A Bible study, where you people out there who are watching in the what we call the third dimension can ask questions or at the very least make comments and let us know where you're watching from in the world. The guest ministers on the screen will introduce themselves as we go around with their first comments. To them each with their first comment. But right now, Gloria's going to open this Bible study with prayer and lead us through communion.
I will. And so if you're out there and you would like to join us for communion, please go and get something you can use for the elements to represent the bread and the wine, representing the body and the blood of Jesus. So if you're a Christian, come and join us. We want to fellowship with you. Even if you're watching sometime in the future, join us then as well. So that's wonderful. Father God, we thank you for this precious time. We are privileged to be able to come together and share around the word. This is a table of feasting. And we feast upon the word tonight. Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is helping us. We thank you for Jesus, who made a way for us to be reconciled to you. And Lord, we declare right now that your word goes out into the world and reaches those people whose hearts are hungry for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, it's been an amazing week this week. There's been highs and lows and everything in between. And you know what? Sometimes we have weeks like that and, you know, we have them. And like even when you happen to watch the news and things like that, you just see all sorts of crazy things that are happening on the in the world today. And if you let it, it can affect you. There might be people out there who are watching right now who've seen some things on the news that have just been so distraught by what they're seeing and what they're hearing. Or there might be a circumstance that's happening in your own life or in your family's life that has caused you some grief or some sorrow or some anguish or something like that. But you know what? The message that I got for you tonight from the Lord, and because it's so personal to me, is that God is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. God is our comfort. He sent Jesus, he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us, and he understands what we're going through. And I've been reading a lot of Psalms lately, and so I went to the Psalms this week, and I just started to flick through, and I've got so many underlined in red. And I'm just going to pick out one and I'm just going to read it, because all the way through it just talks about how God is there for us in our times of need. In Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. He promises all this for us, that he is there for us in the midst of all of this trouble that we might be going through, whether it's grief or sadness or whatever it is that we might be experiencing. He is there to lift us. And then in verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And God will be exalted in my life as well. And so as we come to take communion, we lift Jesus and we exalt him because of what he has done to bring us back into relationship with our God and Father. So thank you, Jesus, that you took bread and gave thanks and said, take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me, because this is my body that was broken for you. And by your stripes, Jesus, we have been healed. So we eat now in remembrance of you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for healing and wholeness.
Thank you, Jesus. Healed and whole.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
And thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sin for all mankind. You took my sin. You took the sin of the world. You took it all on yourself. You became the propitiation. We thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. Take this in remembrance of you. We thank you. You are our victory. that you have won the victory for us, that we live in victory. We don't have to stay in that place where life is the pits, because we have the victory in you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise your holy name.
Praise you, God. And thank you, Gloria, for leading us through communion. Well, we're in the book of Hebrews. Mm-hmm. We're doing a Bible study in the book of Hebrews, and we're right at the end of chapter 5, at verse 12. But I'm going to ask Gloria to read from verse 10 through to the end of the chapter, 10 through to 14. And then we'll go to Tom and Wendy first, and then we'll go to John.
It's hard, we love.
And then we'll, I'll just share screen.
Yep.
Where's the share screen?
Just there down there.
All right. So that one. And
go to Dakota.
That one there. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there we are.
So from verse
11. Wait on, we're in chapter 6, so I need to go back to chapter 5. And if you can just read from, start at verse 10 to bring it into context. And when we go to Tom, you'll be commenting on spiritual immaturity, which is 12 through to 14. Mm-hmm. So there you go, Gloria.
Thank you. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek.
So we're talking about Jesus here.
Mm-hmm.
Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek.
Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Thanks, Gloria. Over to you, Tom, and don't forget to introduce yourself first. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning. My name's Tom, and this is Wendy Hawkins from England, UK. We're on the East Coast. And, pleased to be a part of this. I know that our words that we speak will go forth, and they will accomplish that which they are sent forth to accomplish, and will not return void. So we just declare that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And this is something that we see quite a lot, because we pastor one church on the, like I say, on the east coast of the UK, and we've been doing it since 1997. So we are 26 years this year, and one of the things that we see lacking a lot of the time is this spiritual maturity. So many people are still tuned in to just the five sense realm about what they can see, touch, smell, hear, etc., and feel. And so, but we are predominantly a spirit being. So we've used this before. We're triune beings. We are predominantly spirit that inhabits a body and develops a soulish realm, our mind, will, and emotions. But most people are the other way around. The spirit man is probably the last place. We sometimes call it the heart of man as well, is what we can sometimes refer to it as. And we see this, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, the word of God tells us that to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death or separation from the life of God. And so I just want to encourage people that the very last part of that says that that those who by reason of use, see, God's given us gifts, and God's given us his spirit. You see, that's how we came to new life in Jesus. We were born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible we'll see. But by reason of use, we have these senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we have a spiritual compass on the inside of us that's designed to be put into action. You know, faith is voice activated, but so is doubt and unbelief. So God wants us to exercise this spiritual aspect of us, and not to be babies, not to be, you know, babies are great, but they shouldn't be like that forever. And so God wants us to grow, and he wants us to grow in spiritual maturity too as well, I think. Mm-hmm. So just to encourage people that it must be possible, because that's why, because he put it there to encourage us to grow spiritually. How do we grow spiritually? Lots of ways. We can grow spiritually by the word of God. We can grow spiritually by speaking in tongues. We can grow spiritually by getting around spiritual people. Anyway, that's my bit.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Yeah, over good. To you, Wendy, please.
I was just reading, I'd put a note it was quite a while since I made this note, and I put, you have been Christians long enough to be teachers, but because of your laziness, you have not grown as much as you should have. So that's the note that I put. And sometimes I think when you hear the grace message, you can think, oh, wow, it's already been done. And we don't always take full responsibility, but we have to take full responsibility to be mature Christians. So I'd made a note to myself, and I remembered many years ago when Andrew Wormack first came to England, I drove to one of his conferences, and Andrew was praying for people, and he prayed for me, and he said, Wendy, he said, it's going to take time, but I'm imparting my teaching gift to you. And he said, it won't happen straight away, but I know that I should have put more effort into being mature and developing that gift. So I think this is just encouraging us now to make sure that we take responsibility to grow strong in what God has given us, and not to be lazy. It's also easy to get distracted, and that can be part of not growing as strong as what we should do as well. And I heard Joseph Prince say about, it's in line with growing up. He said, too much of the word alone, you will dry up. Too much of the Holy Spirit alone, you will blow up. But if you have the word and the Holy Spirit together, you will grow up. So I thought, that's really good to remember, that we need the word of God to grow up, but we also need the Holy Spirit to grow up and be mature as well.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, thanks, Tom and Wendy. Wendy mentioned laziness. What is this laziness? Well, I can tell you what it is. The word of God tells us, every single Christian on the face of this earth, in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Basically, these people that remain babes in Christ, and who are on milk of the word, they have never progressed to meat of the word. It's because they're lazy, and they haven't applied themselves to study the Bible. And you know, it's not a big ask. It's more consistency than it is quantity. You know, a verse or two a day, or a chapter a day, is not a big ask, but at least it's more the consistency. It's the daily application to get into that routine of reading the word, and you will advance. You won't remain a babe in Christ, because the Holy Spirit, who is on the inside of you, he will bring the word to your remembrance. He will quicken the word to you. I mean, that's only some of the benefits. But, you know, if you've been a Christian for a long period of time and you can't rightly divide the word of truth for yourself, then it's about time to make a change and to apply yourself. do what it says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study the word of God. Amen. Over to you, John.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. I mean, one of the Greek interpretations, it says they're not fit for battle. Basically, if you're not righteous, you're not fit for battle. Being an old coach, I can tell you that, you know, when the people come out and everybody has all the same numbers of muscles in their body, but if you exercise them, they're going to develop, and you'll see the results of that. You see the weightlifters, so you know what I'm talking about. But they didn't get any extra muscles; they just developed the muscles in their body, which is a good metaphor. And so, I mean, we used to have something in here in this country to encourage basically men to develop their bodies. It was called Mr. Hercules, and they showed the guy and his girl on the beach, this kind of weakling guy. Somebody come and kick sand in his face, and he couldn't, and took his girlfriend. So he went to the gym and developed his muscles. And so the next time that didn't happen, that's what we have to do to our faith. We have to develop our faith, so when the battles come, to resist the devil, whatever else we find ourselves, we'll be able to step up. And like I would tell my kids, I said, we win and lose games in practice. In other words, developing what you've got, the skills that you've got, to do whatever you have to do when presented with the athletic contest you're developing in. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. We're in Hebrews chapter 5, and we're looking at verses 12 through to 14. Over to you, Pastor Keith, please. You have to unmute.
Hello, everyone. I'm Keith Wall from Bunbury, WA, praising God. In 12, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus is our high priest. So you've got to establish this fact. You're not looking for somebody else. He's your high priest. Right? A priest ministry is from the people to God. That's the priestly ministry. So you take your petition to Jesus, whatever it is, he takes it to God. He is our mediator. So he's the high priest forever. So you're not looking for something else. So once we get the foundation truths established, then we can build on that. But if you're double-minded at all, you're not building. You're still trying to establish the foundation. Jesus is your foundation. Jesus is your high priest. He's a high priest forever. So if you waver, it doesn't alter Jesus. He's the high priest forever. Right. Of whom we have many things to say, but you heard of uttered and seen, you're dull of hearing, right? What are we hearing? Are we hearing the world, or are we hearing what the Word of God says? See, the Word of God will open your, or the Spirit of God will open your ears if you stay in the Word of God. The Word of the Spirit gives us revelation knowledge. For when in time past you ought to be teachers, have now need of a teacher again, which be the first principles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Right. So we're into milk. Milk does not give you strength. So you're going to be challenged with the Word of God. And if you're not strong in the Word of God, you're going to be going back into your emotions and your feelings, your soulish area. So this is why you've got to be strong, because you can't live the Christian life in the soulish area. You've got to be in the spirit. And this is why we get hard of hearing or even dull of hearing. Right. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, and they of whom, by reason of use, their senses are exercised to discern good and evil. The strong meat now, we're discerning good and evil. We should know, like, there's a situation in Australia now, I'm not going to go into detail. They've done something and it's way off from the word of God. They've been accused of being a Christian, but they're way off. Why are they way off? Because they're not discerning good and evil. How do you discern good and evil? By the word of God.
Yeah.
See, if we just talking about strong milk, we're not on milk, we're on meat. So we should be able to discern very quickly whether that's in line with the word of God or not. Mm. And you do it by reason of use. This means you live the gospel. If somebody has offended you, what does the word say? Forgive them. When? Straight away. But if you're on milk, you'll carry that. You're a little babe. Anything offends you. If you're easily offended, you're still on milk. If you're quick to forgive, then you're on meat. Discern your own heart as well. So if we're going to live the Christian life, we've got to get into that meat of the word.
Mm.
And remember where we started, Jesus is our high priest. Thank you, Gary.
Mm. Yeah, thank you, mm-hmm. Pastor Keith. That was good. Over to you, Kathleen.
I just want to read verse 11 and 12 from the New Living Translation. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things of God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. I know they... King James says good and evil, this says right and wrong. And it's like John said, in sport they train. But we have to train to reign. I am not going to rule and reign in this life by Jesus Christ if I don't train to reign. And a lot of the teaching now, praise God, I know we're saved by grace, but then we have to grow in that grace. My Bible talks a lot about growing in grace. And there's a little incident with someone, I put about a scripture up and it must have touched someone and, oh, did he blast me? But I just forgave him and dropped him. But the thing is, we have to grow up. We have to learn that this is our instruction book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, it was, if we do not train ourselves to reign and rule in this life, we're going to get pushed down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to get harder to make a stand. And like Keith said, when someone offends you, just forgive them and give them to God. Because we've been given tools, and the word of God is our sword. This is my sword, and it doesn't leave my side. Even when I'm indoors, I sleep with my sword. My sword is ever there and ready to use. It's my sharp tool. It's the tool of my trade. The word of God is the tool of my trade. And so I like to learn the scriptures. I like to have them written on the table of my heart so that I have the answer, and I'm able to answer every man according to the word of God. And so I just want to bring out that we need to train to reign, because we won't reign if we don't train ourselves. I'll leave it there, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Kathleen. That's great. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God is our sword. You know, the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And people get into religious practices of getting up in the morning and putting on their armor. Well, you know that the devil doesn't sleep at night. When you put your armor on, you never take it off, which is what Kathleen just said about the sword. She keeps the sword ready night and day. You put your armor on once, and you leave it on. You know? Look, I just want to bring out something here. Excuse me. In verse 12. Sorry, Kathleen, you want to jump in?
Yes, I just want to jump in with that. Yes, we never take the armor off. But if you haven't got your sword at the ready, they'll push you over. They can push you over, even though your armor's on.
Yeah.
You have to have that weapon. And this is it.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Keith?
The sword is in our mouth.
Yes.
The sword is in our mouth.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Okay. God brings correction through his word. He doesn't bring it any other way. You know, he corrects through his word, not through experience, but through his word. And I believe there's people watching this video tonight, who are going to find that they'll be, you know, like, it's like you can imagine we're talking about milk of the word. Oh yeah, okay, milk of the word. Yeah, no, I'm past milk. I'm not dealing with milk of the word. Well, really? So you're into meat rather than milk? Well, let's find out what the word of God says, because we're about to go into chapter 6. And like here in verse 12, it says, you need someone to teach you again, so they've already been taught once, teach you again the first principles, not all the principles, just the basic, the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk. Now, what are these first principles that he's talking about? Well, he's about to list them off, and you might be corrected in your thinking when you see what these first principles are. So let's go and have a look at them right now as we share screen. We're going to go over to chapter 6. Mm-hmm. So here we are. Here we go. Chapter 6 for you. So, okay, chapter 6. Mm-hmm. And we're reading from verse 1. We'll just read down 1 through 2, 3. And I want the people watching from the third dimension to see what it says here about what are these first principles of the oracles of God. I might just read this first sentence in.
Sorry.
Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, he's talking about these first principles of the oracles of God. See, the Jews had the oracles of God, right? They had their written in the Old Testament, right? But he says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, right? Because the Christ was in the Old Testament by way of prophecy. So, and then he says, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, there's one, of faith towards God, there's two, of the doctrine of baptism, there's three, of the laying of hands is four, of resurrection of the dead is five, of eternal judgment is six, and this we will do if God permits. So you can see when you, and he's basically, the implication is there that all of these things are just these elementary principles of Christ, you know, and yet Paul is saying, or sorry, it might not be Paul, we don't know who the author of Hebrews is, he is saying, you've got to be taught this all again. Well, you know, about the doctrine of baptisms, are you being taught again about the doctrine of baptisms? Are you being taught again about repentance from dead works, which is not feeling sorry for the fact that you've been doing dead works, it's turning away from them because of a change of heart. You get where I'm coming from? Anyway, I could go on with this, but let's go over to Tom and Wendy. So I'll just top the screen share. Over to you, Tom, please.
That's okay. I was quite enjoying that.
I was on the roll.
What you were saying there. So that's good. No, it's not about the, that's why I like this. It's not about just one person getting their, you know, slot in. It's about learn. Listen, we're all learning together. We're all here because we're desiring to grow, and we're desiring to encourage each other to grow as well. And so as Gary always points out, I learned years ago, if you see a therefore, you look for what is there for again. And so it says therefore, comma. And so he's joining that with the end of chapter 5, verse 14 and 13 and 12. Again, about being babies, isn't it? It's about not being spiritually mature. It's not about, and I was thinking again, I mean, obviously I'm not a mother, but it's coming up to, it's Mother's Day here in the UK tomorrow. And milk for babies only has one function. And you ladies out there will know this, but it's to make the baby fat. It's to get it to put on weight and to grow. And those things, those babies will just keep, man, they'll scream and they'll shout when they're ready for more and more and more. And you know, and we've got to watch out that we just don't get fat, you know, because as Wendy said, if we get lazy, then we're just going to get fat, and fat's not good for it. Fat's not good for us. Muscle mass and proteins and carbohydrates, you know, we go to the gym four times a week. We have a personal trainer. We have food prepared for us that's got balanced amount of calories, balanced amount of protein, balanced amount of carbohydrates and stuff like that. And if you want to build, you, I mean, we're not into bodybuilding, but we're into looking after our, listen, this is our house, isn't it? And so we're looking after that. And so he's saying, let's move on. Therefore, let's move on, leaving the discussions of all the baby stuff. Let's forget all, these are just the elementary things. These are the things that I shouldn't be having to talk about again. These are just the basics of Christian living, that it's based on the foundation of the Word of God. It's based on the power of the Holy Spirit. It's based on Christ alone and the finished work. And then he goes on, like Gary was saying, to list these elementary. What does elementary mean? When we went to elementary school, it's the low, you know, I don't know what you have in the US and in Australia, but our elementary school is like beginner's class, you know. And so he's just encouraging people to move forward and to grow and to grow spiritually again. And then if we look at chapter 6 a bit further down, which we're not going to do today, I don't think, but you'll see that if we don't do that, it leads to a falling away. You know, as Kathleen and Keith were saying, we look at people who fall away, it's because they've just got lazy and they're not following the elementary things of Jesus. So anyway, I'll leave that there.
Thanks, Tom. Over to you, Wendy.
Yeah, thank you for everybody's comments. I just want to just say to the people who are listening in the damage, and thank you for joining us. Some people week in, week out, there might be new people joining, but just to encourage you to keep listening, because our desire is that we grow, but also that we encourage people who are listening to grow as well. So just to say thank you for being willing to grow and to learn the word of God, and it will only do you good. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy. That was very timely. Over to you, John.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. I mean, one of the Greek translations says when it talks about, it refers to all those things that he's talking about. People tried to prove that they can do good, they do things through their own righteousness. And all those were basically said were called dead works, or what the Greek says, useless seeds. That's an interesting term there. So we've just, like Tom said, we just got to get in. Wendy said, we just got to get out there and exercise and eat the right things and that sort of thing. All of a sudden, I'm going, oh, I don't want to eat this. But anyway, you know what I'm talking. You'd rather have the chips and all the other stuff that goes along with that. But anyway, yeah. So, all those things that taught, there's like seven baptisms, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit and baptism and stuff. So he was making reference to a lot of that stuff. And, we've just got to get out there and just like, what is it, Nike? Just do it. So, yeah.
That's it.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thank you, John. Over to you, Pastor Keith.
Thank you, Gary. Leading the principles of Christ and the doctrines of When I read these scriptures, it was a bit of a jolt to my theory, because I thought, well, isn't that enough? If I know that, isn't that enough? So the Bible's saying it's not enough. So it was a bit of a jolt, you know. I probably camped on the other scriptures, and then God told you, let us go on. So this is the thing, that we've got to be teachable, because you can camp on a truth and God's saying, let us go on.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a joke. So where am I going to go on for? I've got all the truth. That's enough. Isn't that enough? But God's saying it's not enough. So this is why we've got to keep hearing the word of God, because I could stand on those scriptures, I could argue about those scriptures, but God has said it's not enough, let us go on. So we need to establish that, but then we must realize God has let us go on. So if that is established, then by the Spirit and by the word of God, God is telling us individually how to go on. Now, how do you go on? We should now, this is the thing, like Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, right? When we first get saved, we'll tell people about the gospel. We're not preaching the gospel, we're telling them. There's a difference. When you're preaching the gospel, you're giving them the truth that can bring them into the kingdom of God. And this is why I realized that where God has done everything for you, then he needs to do something through you to other people. Mm. So let us go on to letting God be God of Christ be Christ in us to other people. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Keith. Over to you, Kathleen.
I'll just read the those two verses from the New Living Translation. So let us stop going over basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. And that's why Paul prayed in Ephesians when he said that he prayed that our understanding would be enlightened. He's talking there to Christians. We're not talking to new believers, because their understanding, you had to be a Christian. People use that prayer for unbelievers to get saved and come into the kingdom. No, that prayer was already for unbelievers. The word of God is written to believers, because until you're a believer, you do not understand it. So that's what we now have to do. And if I want the eyes of my understanding, now, when I say the eyes of our understanding, I'm not talking about these eyes, my natural eyes. I'm talking about my spiritual eyes. And my spiritual eyes, my spiritual ears have to be alert so that I can see his purpose, so that I can hear what he's saying. Because that's what he's talking about. Because when I can see it and hear, and we know that faith only comes by hearing, not with these ears, by our spiritual ears, then the eyes of our understanding become enlightened so that we can know what is his will. Well, his will is his word. If you want to find out the will of God for your life, you need to get into the word of God so that you can grow in the grace that he's provided. I'll leave it there, Gary.
Thanks, Kathleen. Wow, there's been so much in this short Bible study. You see, to those people watching in the third dimension, this is reason of use. Through reason of use, will have their senses, I can't remember what it says.
Exercised
to determine both good and evil, right? So what we're doing here in this Bible study is using the Bible. This is that reason of use. I mean, you need to do more than that. You need to have your own quiet time in the Word of God each day yourself. Look, even if you can only do a verse a day, I mean, a chapter a day will be far more beneficial. It depends how hungry you are, but you've got to start somewhere. So the idea is, through these Bible studies, this is a discipleship program. These Bible studies are actually a discipleship program from the people out there, all the people out there in the third dimension who are watching them. You'll get discipled through listening to these. You can find a whole catalog. I think we're heading on towards 300 Bible studies now. I think we're about 250 or something like that. And where do you find them? You find them in the Grace Faith Christian Discipleship YouTube channel under the playlist called Bible Studies. They're all there. And if you are hungry for this, if you find this Bible study good, there's more. And you know, the purpose, what we're aiming to do is to teach people how to rightly divide the word of truth for themselves. The people on the screen can already do that. These are mature Christians who are into the meat of the word, and they're sharing what they know with you guys out there. That's called discipleship. Look, we've run out of time tonight, but I want to give you a Bible verse. It's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you will read these two verses for yourself, I call it the how-to of the Bible. The whole Bible points at Jesus, and it says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus. Well, that's what we're told to do. But how do you do it? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That means eternal life in heaven. That is the good news. There is no news better than that news. That's why it's called the good news, and it's all about you. It's all about your salvation. You don't need me to lead you through a prayer for salvation. Jot this down, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And when you pray that prayer in line with the instructions, they are instructions, those two verses, then send us an email. I'm going to hand over to Gloria. She's going to give you our email address, and she will close this Bible study mm-hmm. with prayer. Thank you, Gloria.
So our email is gfcd.sozo@gmail.com. So that's an easy one, gfcd.sozo@gmail.com. So right now, we thank you for all those people who have been watching and all those people at some time in the future who've decided to tune in and to watch also. We thank you for that as well. So Father God, we just do praise and give you all the glory and the honor for what this Bible study has been doing, for the lives that it's touched and for the people that it's drawn to you. So Father God, we thank you also for the ministers who've given their time to come and share their understanding, their knowledge, and the revelation the Holy Spirit has given them in the Word of God. So we close this Bible study knowing that your word does not return void, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, ministers. Thank you for giving up your time today to come and preach the Word of God. We love you. We bless you. And mm-hmm. we'll see you, everybody, this time next week.
Bye,
God bless.
Praise God. Very good.
Ciao.